Good morning. I hope you guys are doing well. We're going to continue on talking about the pH system, which is a way to describe how much acid or base is in the thing and stuff like that. I do have one announcement before we get started, is that, again, remember that this Friday at 9 o'clock, send me a class presentation topic request. It's worth it to your point. If you don't know of a cool topic, I didn't say this the other day, but I can totally pick one that I think would be interesting. But on the other hand, if you have any ideas, I'm very open, and the types of topics that have been picked so far, pretty extraordinary. I'm really looking forward to this time's class presentations. But if you do it by this Friday and stuff, that would be totally awesome. On Monday, we left off talking about the pH scale. And pH scale is just a number that goes usually from 0 to 14. And sometimes it goes below 0 and sometimes it goes above 14, but most of the time right in there. And all the substances around us, or at least a lot of them, have a pH. And things less than 7 are acidic. And so most of the things that we eat and drink are somewhat acidic, which is normal for our bodies. On the other hand, the thing that cleans most of the stuff in our world, most of those are basic. Most of those have pHs greater than 7. So a media, oven cleaner, Drano, these kind of things all going to have large pHs. Blood is approximately 7, so depending on who you talk to, that could be about neutral, all right? Technically, 7 itself is where neutrality is, but sometimes give or take a little bit is good. And also notice that there's this kind of strip up here that goes from kind of a pink color to kind of a blue color. And this is an example of pH paper, and how pH paper can also tell you about what the value of the pH is. And we'll use some of this in lab, but a lot of times in chemistry, pink is more a color associated with acids, and blue is a color associated with bases. And that's not universal, it's a generalization. But if you do see stuff like that, you'll know where it's coming from. Now, any kind of scale with a P in front of it, like pH, it's always defined as P of what you're looking at. So like pH would be, H would be hydronium. pH equals minus log of that thing, or minus log hydronium. So on Monday, we saw how pH equals minus log of the H plus concentration in moles per liter. And we talked about how you can anti-log both sides to go back from pH to just H plus. But the thing that's really interesting about this is you can do it for more than just pH. You can do it for any kind of a scale where you're interested in relative amounts of the ion. So for example, we're going to see a type of an equilibrium constant coming up called K sub A. And pKa is equal to minus log of that Ka. And this will be a pretty helpful thing for us coming up. So this is an equilibrium constant, like all the equilibrium constants we've seen so far. Ks that are less than 1, reactant favored. Ks larger than 1, product favored. We're going to deal a lot with Ka's, so I'm introducing here the idea that pKa equals minus log of Ka. You could also have a pOH scale, which is something else we'll use sometimes. pOH equals minus log of the hydroxide. So instead of having a pH scale, which measures essentially the amount of acid present, you can also have a pOH scale, excuse me, to measure the amount of base present. If Forrest was doing a lot of work with swimming pools, he might want to have a pCl scale. Cl would be chlorine, all right, or chloride. And to measure then the amount of chloride in the swimming pool, you could have a pCl scale, and I've seen that used a couple times. Now, another thing we saw on Monday was that we're going to think that all of our solutions are about room temperature, 25 degrees Celsius. And if that's the case, water auto-ionizes to hydronium and hydroxide a little bit. And we talked about how Kw, which is the water ionization constant, equals this 1.00 times 10 to the minus 14th. And I told you guys on Monday that if you're doing medical research on human bodies, for example, the human body is roughly 37 degrees Celsius, a little bit warmer than 25. So some of the things we're gonna talk about maybe aren't real good. However, in this class, like all of our pH calculations are gonna be pretty close to 25. So what you can do with this expression is take the negative log of both sides here. Excuse me. So focus on hydronium times hydroxide equals this 10 to the minus 14th. Why would you want to do that, Dr. Russell? Excellent question. Minus log of this number comes out to be 14. And minus log hydronium times hydroxide in the world of logarithms can be broken up, and you don't have to worry about this, but it can. So instead of multiplying, it's like adding them together. And minus log hydronium is pH, minus log hydroxide is POH, and we end up with the very useful relationship between pH and POH, where pH plus POH always has to equal 14. Now again, this relationship only works for room temperature, but in what we're gonna study and stuff, that's gonna be the dominant temperature you're gonna look at. So, if you have a pH and you have a POH, those two numbers together should be equal to 14 if you're at 25. Now, I'm also gonna talk about later how this pKa plus a pKb equals 14. And we'll talk about this later, but I want you to start thinking about this expression too, because in this next section, that will be important to us. And if you are a kickboxing fan, and I don't know the first thing about kickboxing, but apparently there's a professional kickboxing association, PKA, and that is unfortunately different than our PKA, which is an equilibrium constant based on acids, blah, blah, blah. Questions on any of this? Okay. So let's say we have a hydronium concentration. And again, hydronium is H3O plus. Hydronium concentration of 3.2 times 10 to the minus 5. What would be the POH? Now, if you look at these numbers, all right, pH and POH are very similar, and that usually they don't go above 14. So 18.02 is probably not going to be the best answer here, because that's outside of the normal range. And I'm not going to say it's impossible, but it would be very, very rare. So to solve this problem, you have two different routes you can do. One way would be to go Kw, 10 to the minus 14th, equals hydronium, this number, times hydroxide. You could solve for hydroxide, which is 10 to the minus 14th divided by this number. That would be some number. And then minus log of hydroxide would give you POH. That would be one way to do this problem. Another way to do this problem is you could convert this into pH. Minus log of the hydronium will give you a pH value. And once you have that, pH plus POH equals 14. 14 minus pH would give you POH. It does not matter which way you do it. In this particular part right here, what I did is I did it the POH way. POH equals minus log hydroxide. Hydroxide equals Kw divided by hydronium. And you can see when you get all this, you end up, excuse me, with 9.51 as your POH. But it would not be wrong to find pH here either, minus log of this number, which is like 4.49, I think. And then 14 minus that number should also give you 9.51. And either way is cool. Please make sure you are using base 10 logs, L-O-G, and not L-N. If you do use L-N, then you use natural log of this number divided by natural log of 10. And L-N will give you a different answer than L-O-G. Any questions? Joseph?
Yeah, where do you get the 10 to the minus 14?
Cool.
Constant?
Yeah, that's right. This is KW, and it's the water ionization constant. And make sure you know you have this number ready, okay? So, because all of our stuff is going to be based on water, it's only at 25 degrees, but we'll do it enough that, cool to know.
Excellent question.
Other questions? So here's examples of how pH, hydronium, hydroxide, and POH play off. And it's important in your mind to kind of know what's going on. This is an example of that pH paper, a litmus paper. And generally, although not all the time, generally acidic solutions are more pink and basic solutions are more acidic. So notice here that all of the acidic sides are at the bottom, and all the basic sides are at the top, and neutral's kind of in the middle. All right, so pH we know is 0 is acidic and 14 is basic, no problem. But the more acid you have, the more hydronium you have. So the biggest hydronium is at the bottom, and the smallest hydronium is here in the bottom where it's basic. Hydronium times hydroxide equals the KW that Joseph just asked about. And what that means is that as one goes up, the other one's going to go down. So notice that the highest amount of hydronium corresponds with the lowest part of hydroxide, 10 to the minus 14 versus 1. And the converse is up here. The smallest amount of hydronium corresponds with the largest part of hydroxide. And now, if you think about POH, the low pH corresponds to a high concentration of hydroxide, and a high POH corresponds to a low concentration of hydroxide. So get ready. If you have an acid, all right, you've got lots of hydronium. H3O plus is high, but high acid also means that pH is low. So acid means high hydronium, low pH. If your hydronium is high, your hydroxide will be low. Because, like Joseph said a second ago, asked about, hydronium times hydroxide always equal to KW. So if one goes high, the other one's going to go low, and vice versa. And if hydroxide is low, POH is going to be high. High pX values mean low concentrations of what you're looking at, which I know is very strange to say, but it's how these crazy things work. Now, basic is the opposite. In a pH value, a basic pH is high. High pH means lots of base. Lots of base means low hydronium. That's the acid part. But if hydronium is low, that means hydroxide is high. Hydronium times hydroxide equals KW. If hydroxide is high, POH is low. And again, what we're getting all these things from is that pH plus POH always equals 14, and the other one, hydronium times hydroxide equals KW. So because 14 and KW are not going to change, that's why you're seeing this weird kind of opposite thing. And you can probably tell that at first it's a little strange, so spend a little time figuring out that, okay, high pH means low amount of acid, but that means lots of base, and POH would be low kind of thing. It's like, kind of trying to mesmerize you or something, man. I apologize. Questions on any? So if you have a weak acid and or a weak base, we talked about how the conjugate base of a weak acid will be present, or a conjugate acid will be present from a weak base. And the reason we have to think a lot about the conjugates when it comes to weak systems is that weak acids, weak bases mean that the acid or base you start with doesn't go to the product side that much. Like, it's usually less than 5%. So if you had 100 moles of acetic acid, a weak acid, less than 5 moles would actually turn into their conjugates. All right, most of it would stay as the reactant part. And that's one of the ways that reactants are different, or weak acids are different than products. There's usually more reactant around than you have product. So let's look a little bit here at acetic acid, which we're going to abbreviate a lot in this class as HOAC, because that crazy acetate just takes too long to write out, I guess. Anyway, HOAC reacts with water when it's in a solution. It makes hydronium and acetate. Now, the reason acetic acid is acidic is because it does make hydronium, H3O+. But as we saw on Monday, acids donate an H+. They create conjugate bases. So these two are conjugates because there's an H+ related to them. Acetate wants to take an H+ and make hydronium. So these two are related. And water here is acting like a base to make its conjugate acid hydronium. And the acid hydronium makes its conjugate base water when it gives up a proton. So this is where this Ka thing comes from. If you have a weak acid, you have a system with a lot more reactant than you have product. And if you have more reactant than product, you're going to have an equilibrium constant less than one, and usually quite a bit less than one. So a Ka is just another type of equilibrium constant. It's based on an acid, and they're always used for weak acids. So weak acids will always have hydronium as a product, the conjugate base of whatever acid you're looking at, and in the denominator, we only put the weak acid. Why are we not putting water down there? It's a liquid, that's right. Liquids and solids always pulled out of equilibrium. So a Ka always has hydronium. Doesn't matter what acid it is, it's gonna have hydronium because that's what makes an acid, times conjugate base divided by the weak acid. And acetic acid's Ka is known very well, 1.8 times 10 to the minus 5. Because this K is less than 1, that means you're going to have more reactant than product. So again, out of 10,000 or so acetic acids, a very small amount will go to the product side. Most of this acetic acid will stay as acetic acid, only a little bit of it will break up. But because a little bit does break up, you've got an acid. So vinegar is basically an acetic acid solution. That's actually an acidic thing. You can take off certain kinds of chemicals. So any kind of Ka, weak, first of all, hydronium's a product. We'll think about the conjugate. K is less than one. Questions?
Yeah. I have a question. So in our lab, you know how we had hydrochloric? Why does that smell exactly like vinegar?
So smell is a pretty complicated process and stuff. As I understand, there's lots of receptors and stuff, and how they overlap is different. And this is probably totally unrelated, but I saw The Matrix this weekend, and they were talking about how chicken, everything tastes like chicken and stuff because, you know, The Matrix couldn't program it, but maybe our sensors can't do it. Point why I've never thought personally that hydrochloric acid smells like acetic acid vinegar, but I have obviously a different set of perceptions and stuff. The Matrix hasn't programmed me in the same way. Not being paranoid, really. So I don't have a good answer for your question. Sorry. It's kind of a cool observation, actually. So, any questions? Other questions? You can ask anything. My answers sometimes are better or worse. I know, so low pH height. Anyway. Okay, so Ka, just another type of equilibrium constant. A means acid. Acid means hydronium will be a product. We're not going to have a lot of hydronium relative to the weak acid, but there will be some, and there's lots of interesting things you can do. Here's a generic representation of a weak acid, HA. A minus is the conjugate base, and HA would be the weak acid. They all react with water. Again, hydronium is a product. Don't put water in the denominator because it's a liquid. These pHs, roughly 2 to 7 pH when you place them in water. It varies and stuff. It's different from the hydrochloric acid that Ponyboy just mentioned. Those guys dissociate 100%. So we would use a one-sided arrow for those. 1 mole of HCl makes 1 mole of hydronium. We don't worry about equilibria with strong acids, we only worry about it with weak acids. A KB is the corresponding process for weak bases. So things like ammonia or methylamine or these kind of things. So just like the A meant an acid, a weak acid, the B here means a weak base. Now weak bases also react with water. Because it's a base, it's going to have now hydroxide as a product. And the conjugate acid of the weak base is going to be a product as well. So if B is ammonia, NH3, what's going to be the conjugate acid of ammonia? Ammonia, yeah. It's going to be an NH3, the conjugate base, with an extra H+. So ammonium, NH4+, is the conjugate acid of ammonia. Conjugates are always related by that plus or minus H+. So the weak base, whatever it is, reacts with water, makes some kind of conjugate acid, which is more positive because of the H+ than the base was, and hydroxide will be a product as well. So KB, conjugate acid, times the base, hydroxide, excuse me, divided by the concentration of your weak base. These Ks are also less than 1. pH is roughly 12 to 7. That's all over the place. We'll talk about how to calculate those things later. And again, just like hydrochloric acid was different than acetic acid, sodium hydroxide here would be a lot different than ammonium. Sodium hydroxide reacts with water, one-sided arrow. It ends up making hydroxide and essentially a sodium ion. The 1 mole NaOH creates 1 mole hydroxide. But ammonia, the weak bases, like one of these, maybe makes, you know, 0.001 moles of these, something like that. Okay, so let's say we have that weak acid expression again, Ka. HA, random acid, plus water makes hydronium because it's an acid, and the conjugate base A minus comes out. And this is what the Ka is. Let's take now that same base, A minus, and react it with water. Now, because it's a base, it's going to take an H plus from water, hydroxide's going to be formed, and you end up with HA, the conjugate acid of A minus. So notice here, I'm taking some random weak acid, I'm creating its conjugate base, I'm now taking that conjugate base by itself, reacting it in water, to make the same acid, but now it's a conjugate. So I'm basically using, say, acetic acid and acetate, or I'm using ammonium and ammonia. I'm using things that are conjugates of each other. And I do that because if you add these two equilibria up, notice how HAs cancel, A minus cancels, you end up with two waters on the reactant side, and two waters equals hydronium times hydroxide. This reaction right here is the KW that Joseph asked about earlier. It's the water autoionization KW, all right, where two waters dissociate into hydronium and hydroxide. Ka, this K, times KB is how we can also find this. Ka times KB equals KW. So if you have a weak acid and its conjugate base, or a weak base and its conjugate acid, those two Ks multiplied by each other should also equal Kw. And what's the value of Kw? 10 to minus 14, thank you.
So you cancel them out because of the conjugates of each other?
Yeah, they're the same. Well, actually, this acid is a reactant and this acid is a product. So when you add them, then the left and the right, like X on the left and X on the right, you can cancel. Good question. Okay. Ka times Kb equals Kw, and this is also going to be important for what we're talking about. So this is the equilibrium constant for a weak acid times the equilibrium constant for the conjugate base, and those two equal Kw. And if you minus log both of these, like we did with hydronium times hydroxide equals Kw, you can also get this pKa plus pKb equals 14. I'll show you why these are useful coming up, but for right now I'm just introducing the idea that a Ka is for an acid, a Kb is for a base, and if they're conjugates, Ka times Kb will equal Kw, and then pKa plus pKb equals 14. Yeah.
Is that always the case, pKa plus pKb equals 14? So if we ever have pKa, we can just subtract from 14 and pKb.
Yes. It's always, it always works, Jeremy, as long as A, they're conjugates, all right? So acetic acid and acetate, but not like acetic acid and ammonia. Those guys aren't conjugates. And it also works always at 25 degrees Celsius. As you start getting farther from 25, then this number right there will start to change, man. But in this class, we're going to assume 100%. So, there are tables like this around, and problem set number two, this is basically just a scan picture from excuse me, what we're going to do. You can also find a lot of these numbers on Google, and our textbook has them like that. I'll try to steer you towards this one, just so our values will be the same, because just like any experimental quantity, sometimes these things are crazy. Now, if these tables are done right, and they often are all over the place, but what happens is you have the strongest acids on the left-hand side, and as you go down the column, the acids get weaker. So up here in the top, here's perchloric, hydrochloric, nitric acid, the strong acids. Sulfuric acid is strong. We'll talk about that more later. And then you start getting into the weaker acids. So notice up here for Ka, which is this column, the strong acids, it just says large, and then you start getting into Ka's and stuff that get smaller and smaller and smaller. We're gonna see that as Ka goes up, the strength of the acid also goes up. So these would be biggest, strongest acids, and now we're getting weaker, weaker, weaker until we get to some that are very small. But because the conjugates are related by Kw, right across from the weak acid, you'll see the corresponding weak base. So let me focus here on this one. This is nitrous acid, HNO2. And nitrous acid is a weak acid. It's weak either because it's not one of those five strong acids, or you can see that it has a Ka less than 1. And in this case, it's 4.5 times 10 to the minus 4. K's less than 1 are also considered weak acids. So if you don't want to memorize my magic 5 strong acids, and I won't be offended, you can also look at a table like this to see what's going on. Now, HNO2 will lose an H plus to make nitrite, NO2 minus. And NO2 minus, the conjugate, is right across from the weak acid. And guess what? NO2 has a KB associated with it. So KB means that this is a base. Your little nitrite ion, which is, by the way, in meat hot dogs, and I discourage you from eating those on many different reasons, some of them philosophical and some of them health related. But anyway, prof hat back on. Nitrites are basic, all right? You can see right here, they're going to have a base. They're going to create hydroxide when they're in water. So the conjugates are right across from each other. And what that means is that on the base side, we start with the weakest bases, very, very small Ka's, then we have some kind of Ka, and they get down, so the strongest bases are down here. And these are some real nasty kind of things down here. But anyway, so acids strong to weak, bases weak to strong, conjugates right across from each other. Here's acetic acid and acetate, boric acid in this tetraborate A ion, which you don't need to worry about. They're always across from each other, and that's because this number, Ka, times this number, Kb, should be equal to Kw, the water ionization constant. Again, let me share the warning that I gave to Jeremy earlier. If you start doing things on the human body or on Saturn where it's cold or something, maybe the Kw thing won't work too well. But on the Earth, 99% of chemistry, this works really, really well, and that's why we'll use tables like this. The only K that you guys need to know is KW. All right, it's really important. But Madeline's taking an exam. She's like, oh, Russell told me to memorize it and I forgot. She can take KA and multiply it by KB also to get KW. So that's another way to kind of sneak around some of my things I'm studying. Any questions on that? Okay. So let's say that we have these five bases. And first of all, we know they're bases because they have a B by them. K's are equilibrium constant. K's less than one mean reactant favored. So none of these are going to be strong bases like sodium hydroxide, lithium hydroxide. But we can make suggestions as to which one will be the strongest base. So as the K value, which is less than one, gets closer to one, do you start making more product or less product? More, that's right, yeah. And for these KBs, all right, is hydroxide, the hallmark of what it makes a strong base, is a hydroxide a product or a reactant?
Product.
Hearing both, product, yeah. All of the Ks, it's gonna be either acid or base plus water on the reactant side. And on the product side, you'll have the conjugate plus hydroxide if it's a base and hydronium if it's an acid. So what that means is we want the K which is closest to one, because closest to one means the most product, all right? Most product means most hydroxide. So if you look at these numbers, 10 to the minus 4 is closest to one of all of those. That would have the most hydroxide in the system. And more hydroxide is how chemists usually describe strongest bases. Sodium hydroxide, 1:1, all right? 1 mole sodium hydroxide equals 1 mole hydroxide, really, really strong. As Ks get closer to one, they get more like sodium hydroxide. Not quite that good, but still more powerful. Any questions?
Does that work with KA too?
Yeah. So if you wanted to find the strongest acid, and it was a series of KAs, you bet, Jeremy, you'd look for the K which was closest to one. That's right. Well done. Any questions? It's kind of interesting. A lot of times in Portland, there's big debates over where they should put fluoride in water. And there's a lot of really pretty good things about putting fluoride in water. However, as a scientist, I get nervous because sorry, distracted way too easily today. Good cough medicine, whatever. Anyway, so KB, there's fluoride has a KB, all right? And so that means the fluoride is going to have a little bit of basic properties in it. And apparently all the microbreweries in Portland were really especially nervous about that because they were worried about extra base being used in the process of their beers and stuff like that. I found that really interesting and an interesting reason why perhaps fluoride isn't the best, but there's lots of yays and nays both ways and stuff, so. I'll try to talk louder, Taylor, but my voice today is not the strongest, so I call Emily. Okay, yeah. Sorry, that's never a dull moment. All right, questions? What a day, Rebecca. Anyway, pop that back on. So. All right, so on that list, all right, if the list is done right, i.e. the one you're going to use, acids on the upper left are the strongest, and they go progressively weaker, or the weak go to strong. Bases, on the other side, the strongest are at the bottom, and the weakest are at the top. And remember that across from each acid, there's the conjugate base. Or if you see a base, across from it is the conjugate acid. And because Ka times Kb equals Kw again, as the acid strength goes up, as Ka gets bigger, that means your Kb is going to get smaller. So as the acid strength increases, the base strength will decrease, and vice versa. And we'll look at this and stuff as we go. And finally, the only K you guys need to know is that Kw. All right, all the other Ks and Kbs and stuff, I would absolutely give you. You only one to know is that Kw. Okay. So because of this process, all right, because Ka times Kb equals Kw, excuse me, you can start making comparisons between acids, in a reaction, or bases. Now, this is an example of nitric acid reacting with water. Acids donate H+, so it ends up making its conjugate, nitrate, and hydronium is what happens when water takes the H+ from this. Now, is HNO3, is that, if you don't look, if you can't read for some reason, but anyway, is it a strong acid or is it a weak acid? Strong, right? Okay, good, hopefully. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so what that means is nitric acid goes 100% to products, all right? And because of this process, like if you look at the K for HNO3, it said large. What that means is that we really shouldn't use a double-sided arrow right there. We should use a single arrow. Now, every acid-base reaction does create a conjugate acid and a conjugate base, and nitric acid and hydrochloric acid, et cetera, are no problem. But in these cases, because these are so strong, we assume it goes 100% to the right. Hydronium and nitrate are the only products. But this also means something else. If this reaction is so far to the right, we're going to consider it a one-sided arrow, that means that hydronium is a much weaker acid than nitric acid. Hydronium can't compete by pushing the acid direction back in the other way. And nitrate is a weaker base than water is here. Nitrate also can't push back in the other direction. So here we can say that hydronium is a weaker acid than nitric acid, and the nitrate ion is a weaker base than water. And again, notice here how nitrate is different than nitrite, and that's common. Sometimes the effects are different. But you can also maybe see how some of these relationships started popping in. So hydronium was under nitric acid. Nitric acid was stronger. It pushes in the opposite direction. So for strong acids and strong bases, we really should use just a single-sided arrow, all right, because it's so strong. Nitric acid is a stronger acid than hydronium, but water is also a stronger base than the nitrate ion. And we should really use a one-sided arrow. These Ks are very difficult to calculate. When they're done, they're 10 to the 5th, 10 to the 6th. In our class, we'll just assume that it's a one-sided arrow, so we don't have to worry about it. Jeremy?
Just curious, after the lab yesterday, this, how much does it allow polarity?
Big time. And that's what we're leading up to, is how to actually find how much hydronium you have in nitric acid or how much hydronium you have in acetic acid. And that's where we're going. Good. Yeah, Rebecca?
So if it has a one-sided arrow, does that mean that even if you added more nitrate, it wouldn't ever go back?
That's right. Now, in theory, all reactions, you can argue, are a little bit of equilibrium. So if you had, you know, a billion nitrates, then maybe one of them would work back that way. But even if it did, Rebecca, you can still argue that as long as that nitric acid can find water, you're again pushing back to the product side. It's a very uphill battle, let's put it that way, so yeah. But if there, you know, we're talking about generalizations of things. If you hit it extreme by adding like a lot of potassium nitrate or something, then you could start seeing other types of effects. Okay. Other question? That was a cool question. Now, let's look at a weak acid. Let's look at acetic acid again. Now, acetic acid is different than nitric acid because it doesn't go 100% to the products. Acetic acid reacts with water, makes hydronium and acetic acid. But the K for this one was 1.8 times 10 to the minus 5. And like all Ks less than 1, you have that more reactants at equilibrium than you have products. So in this reaction, is acetic acid a stronger acid? Is it able to push this way? Or is hydronium a stronger acid? It's able to push to the left. The acetic acid is going to be stronger. If you have more reactant than product, weak acids, Ka, very, very low ionization amounts, which will go towards more what Jeremy asked about earlier. What that means is at equilibrium, a lot more reactant, not a lot of product. So if that's the case, this is now the opposite of what we just saw. Acetic acid does push a little bit to the right, but by far, hydronium is pushing more to the left. We have more left-hand reactant side stuff than we have products. So that means that in the battle of the acids, if you will, hydronium is stronger than acetic acid. It's pushing the reaction away from itself. Acetic acid is not able to push against hydronium very well. So that's why we think of it as a weaker acid. Acetate is a stronger base than water is too. Because if you can also think about these in terms of bases fighting each other, acetate is pushing back towards water more than water is pushing towards acetate. So if you have a small K, which is what you have for weak acids and weak bases, you have more reactants than products. So the product acid and the product base should be stronger than the reactant acid and the reactant base. Okay. Now, what about if you mix a strong acid plus a strong base? All right? So in this example of this, hydrochloric acid plus sodium hydroxide, very exothermic process, lots of energy released. You end up with water and salt, sodium chloride in this case, and stuff would be here. If you break these ions down to their individual pieces, remember that everything aqueous can be broken into cation and anion. You don't break up water in net ionic reactions, don't break up liquids and solids or gases, but Na and Cl also break up. So what ions are spectator ions in this reaction? Chloride and sodium, well done. The chloride is on both sides, it's a spectator. The sodium is on both sides, it's a spectator. So if you pull those out, the net ionic equation here is nothing more than H plus plus OH minus going to water, all right? And if you think about this as hydronium instead of H plus, which means you add a 2, this is nothing more than the inverse of Kw, that 10 to the minus 14. So if you want to find what this K is, 1 over Kw, 1 over 10 to the minus 14th, is just 10 to the positive 14th. That's a huge K, very, very product favorable. So what that means is that strong acids and strong bases literally annihilate each other. That K is so large that they don't stop until they're wiped out. If you have equal molar quantities, 1 mole and 1 mole, or 10 moles and 10 moles, they're just like hunter killers. They go after each other, after each other, after each other, until you only have water and sodium chloride. It technically is a neutral solution, and I will never let any of you try this. However, if you have 1 molar HCl and 1 molar sodium hydroxide, sorry, Taylor, you mix them together, all right, lots of energy. In theory, you should be able to drink it, because at the end, you just have salt, water, and in theory, you can drink it, but my goodness, trying to keep it G-rated, I would be worried that the stockroom had actually 1.1 molar instead of 1 molar, so you'd be drinking strong acid, strong base, but anyway. In theory, if the acids and the bases, and they're strong and strong acids, strong bases, and they come together, they should wipe each other out, nothing left but salt water, so it should be neutral. So the punchline here is that, again, strong acids, strong bases, they're gonna push to the other side, all right? Strong acids and strong bases are like the Terminator, all right? They don't stop until they're either destroy or they're destroyed themselves, man. They just go and go and go and go until they're wiped out. And if you have a neutral, if you have equal moles of strong acid, strong base, done. Okay.
Is it wiped out? How does that work with, like, the law of conservation?
Law of conservation?
Of, like, when you say annihilate, it almost sounds like, is it disappearing, or, like, what exactly is happening?
So there's two laws of conservation. There's law of conservation of matter and law of conservation of energy. The matter is no problem. If you have 1 mole here and 1 mole here, they will make 1 mole of water and 1 mole of sodium chloride, no problem. Energy, these guys have a lot of potential energy inside them, and as they make water and sodium chloride, the energy is distributed, more is released into the environment, but it's okay. So yeah, those are okay. It literally is a way to justify a Terminator-like behavior without breaking any of these thermodynamic things. Good question. Kind of a fun question to think about, actually, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, weak acids plus strong bases, a little bit different. So assume in this reaction, we have sodium hydroxide. I'm pulling the sodium ion out of this reaction. I want to show just the net ionic reaction. Now, weak acids kind of play around, whatever, but the strong bases, once again, which is what this is, the terminator, all right? And it's going to go, go, go until it's done. If you wanted to figure out what the K is for this reaction, and you look at it long enough, this is nothing more than the reverse of a KB for acetate. KBs have acetate, a weak base, plus water. They make hydroxide and a conjugate acid, which in this case would be acetic acid. So if you're curious about what the approximate K value is here, you can look up what the K value is for acetate, and it's like 5.6 times 10 to the minus 10th or something like that. 1 over that number gives you this thing right here, which is a very, very product favor K. What this says is that for this reaction, strong bases plus weak acids, very product favored. Again, the strong base makes the K for these reactions basically as if it was a one-sided arrow, all right? These terminators, loving this terminator idea here, so sorry, I'm getting kind of obsessed with it, prop that back on. Strong acids, strong bases will go until they're wiped out, all right? And so in this case, this strong base and a weak acid, very product favored K, that means you're only going to have water and acetate. But another really interesting thing happens when you have a weak acid. This strong base comes in and takes care of business. So if you have equal moles, these are all wiped out. But the weak acid has a conjugate base left over. So even though you put these three things together, and the strong base, like I said, goes like the terminator, at the very end of the day, you're going to have a solution with acetate. Acetate, the weak base of acetic acid, is going to have its own pH effect. Your solution will be basic. So Christopher and I have some acetic acid. We want to get rid of it and stuff. And so, yeah, no problem. We'll add some strong base and stuff. Boom, boom, lots of reactions. Energy given out, very K-favored, very large. But at the end of the day now, our solution will not be neutral. You don't want to drink these in front of the classroom because, oh boy, you're going to have a pH effect. And in this case, it would be basic. And that would taste pretty nasty going on. So what this is trying to tell you is that strong acids plus strong bases, literally they wipe themselves out. Neutral stuff at the end, done. Reaction's done. But same amount of acid with a weak base or same amount of base with a weak acid, there will be a pH effect at the end. And in this case, it's going to be a basic pH. Okay. Here's the opposite reaction. But now with a strong acid, which is a hydronium creator plus a weak base ammonia. And you can do the same kind of thing, and you can use the Ka for ammonium to figure out what this K would be. It's 1 over Ka. Also, very product favored. So strong acids, again, like the terminator, will come in and wipe out all the base. But because the base creates a conjugate acid, if you have equal moles of strong acid and weak base, there will still be a pH effect at the end. These weak acids and weak bases kind of get you at the end because you think you're done with them, and then, oh man, there's still, getting excited, still a little bit of pH effect at the end. Sorry about that, it's good cough medicine. So in this case, if you wipe out a weak base, you're going to have a little bit of an acid solution at the end. Not as strong as the strong acid, but still strong. On the other hand, if you have a strong base with a weak acid, at the end, that weak conjugate base will create a solution which is somewhat basic. Questions? Okay, this is a pretty good place to stop, so let's stop here. We'll do more of this on Friday. Have a great day, guys.